and it's pasuk 14, Yud Dalet. On the sheets that you have in front of you, it is the page that is has the number Mem Aleph. Pasuk Yud Dalet Mem Aleph. Of course, you know, I always like to leave some kind of a mark as to what moment in history we are there. I just want people to know that this is the morning after the elections, and Ariel Sharon, is not merely 20% ahead of Barack, it's a 25 crushing percent, with Barack being down to 37, and Sharon at 63. You know, just so that I remember what kind of a mood I was in when I said this this year. But we have to also pray that he have success, because the problems that he has to deal with are going to be impossible ones, very, very difficult to resolve them. I hope that the people on the right will not make all of their outlandish requests of him, but that everybody join together in order to be able to make a government that will be able to fight the battle of the Intifada. That's the most important thing, and all other things should be secondary to that. I didn't mean dairy. That came out. But no, I'm worried that some of our friendly Yidlach over there will say, listen, I need so much and so much money, and I need so much and so much of this. That's really not the issue. The issue right now is to deal with the threat to people being killed. That's the real threat, and everybody should forget all of the other nonsense. Otherwise, we're going to be in terrible, terrible, terrible trouble. Sukim Yud Bet and Yud Gimel, just as the introduction to Yud Dalet and Tetvav. In Yerushalayim, Rashi explained that in Yerushalayim, Shevna and the forces that were with him were frightening the people and telling them the city is going to fall, and therefore what we must do is we've got to make peace with Sancheret. It was the tactic of fear. And therefore Hashem says in Pasuk Yitalud, Lo Tomrin Keshet, don't become part of the conspiracy, L'chol Ashiyomer Ha'amazek Keshet, everything that these people will say is the conspiracy. Ve'et mora'o, and the fear that he instills in you, that's how Rashi learned it, an amazing Rashi. Mora'o, the fear that if we don't make peace with Sancheret, now we're going to be destroyed. I mean, amazing. Lo tiru, don't be afraid, lo tarizu, and don't be broken by all of the attempts to instill in you a sense of fear from the enemy from without. If you want to have fear, you should have a positive fear, and that fear is at Hashem Tzvakot, God of hosts, Oto Tagdishu. Him you should sanctify, V'hu Mora Achem, he is the one whom you should fear, V'hu Ma'ad Yitzchem, and he is the one, Rashi says, Machazikchem, the one who gives you strength. In that fear, in Yirat Hashem, there is strength. Pasuk Yudalit. V'hoyol Migdash. The Navi is going back now to the threats of Shevna, the camp of the left in Yerushalayim. That's exactly what Shevna was. Chizkiyahu was the right, and Shevna was the left. V'hoyo l'migdash. Take a look at the words in Rashi, second line. V'hoyo l'migdash. Ota eitzah sheyat Shevna v'sheyat pekach l'hashbit malchut beit David. The counsel, the advice of Shevna and Pekah. What really has happened over here is Shevna, who is in the city, has really made a pact with Pekah, who is the enemy outside of the city. They most probably had been meeting in all sorts of different five-star hotels to discuss what to do with Malchus Beis David. And Shevna, Otai Tzasha Yaat Shevna Vashyat Pekach Lashbit Makut Beit David, the counsel, the advice, the plan of Shevna and Pekach to destroy the house of David, Yia L'Simon Pur Onut Lava Aleim, that's going to be the punishment that will come upon them. What does the word L'Mikdash mean? Without Rashi, we couldn't move over here. Rashi says, L'migdosh k'mo hitkadeshu l'machar. The word migdosh also means preparation for that which is to come. By the way, we have it also, we have it in next week's Sedra in Parashat Yitro, hitkadeshu hayom u'machar. Prepare yourself today and tomorrow. Hitkadeshu also means, you know, setting a certain time, preparing, being prepared for something. Their plan to bring down the house of David is going to be that which will indicate their future. Their Mikdash, their future, is being decided because they want to destroy the house of David. And you know what's going to happen? Ula Evan Negev, their plan is going to be a stone upon which one stubs his foot, Ula Tzur Michol, and a rock that is going to be a stumbling block, Lishnei Bate Yisrael, for the two houses of Israel. We'll see in a moment what it means. It's going to be Lefach Ula Mokesh. A Fach is a trap, and a Mokesh is... So give me, for one of them, give me a word other than a snare. And very, yes. A mokesh is a snare. Li yoshev Yerushalayim, for the inhabitants of Yerushalayim. Says Rashi, ule even negev, shaharaglayim nigafim ba. Even negev means a stone that your feet or your foot gets, you know, stubbed on it. Lishon michshol, it is like a stumbling block. Be careful, Yirmiyo says, before your feet are going to trip. Pen tigof v'even naglecha. That's in no. Yoshev b'sei said eyon. B'tzel. So you have to be careful. God is the one who, that's why we say it, because God is the one who watches over you. Pentigo for Eden Daglecha, lest your foot stumble over rock. So he says, this plan to destroy the house of David is going to, Kamo Shambindu Ifrit, say Yase Zigzag, boomerang. It's going to turn around and it's going to boomerang upon you. This great plan of removing Malchus Beis David and ripping to take over the government is going to turn into an Eden Negev, and it's going to be a Tzur Michshol. Says Rashi, Tzur Michshol, Hu Lishon Egen Eden Negev. He says it's the same thing like an Eden Negev, Shahatzur Hu Eden. The Tzur is a stone. I have a feeling there's a difference between the two terms. The words are basically the same. But the difference is, I have a feeling that Eben Negev is something that you stub your toe on and it hurts. A Tzur Michol, you already fall flat on your face. You stumble over it. That's a further step. And then, Pach Ulamokesh is already when you fall, you can still get up and, you limp it a little bit, but you can move afterwards. But when it becomes a tach and a mokesh, then you are caught and trapped within the web that you have woven yourselves. It says Rashi, L'shnei Bata Yisrael, Shepo liot l'pach u'l'mokesh l'yoshev Yerushalayim, u'mihim shnei habatim pekach ben remayo v'siyato v'shevna v'siyato. In other words, the two houses of Israel that are opposed to the kingdom of the house of David, and they're the ones who are riding high. But let's take a look. Shevna is the one who says that the majority is with me. Most of the inhabitants of Yerushalayim are with me. So those two houses of Israel, Pekah ben Ramayo and Shevna, who want to bring down the house of David, are going to be brought down themselves. The Choshlu Bamnavim. The tragedy is, with that kind of leadership, there are a lot of innocent people who fall into the trap. There are a lot of innocent, well-meaning people who believe, people believe what they're saying. They most probably had said that Chizkiyahu thinks he's going to run the government alone. Who does Chizkiyahu think he is? Doesn't he know that the people are not with him? Doesn't he know that we're at a moment of great danger? If we don't do anything now, the entire Middle East, the forces of Ashur, are now banging against the doors of Yerushalayim. Doesn't Chizkiyahu realize what is happening? What's Chizkiyahu done? What has he accomplished? Did he bring the boys home from Lebanon? No. You know what he done? You know what Chizkiyahu did? He created more yeshivas and kolim in Eretz Yisrael than any other king before him. As the Gemara says, from Don to Be'er Sheva, everybody was learning Torah. But we have a serious problem, Sheva. Well, I could do a good job for Shevna and Pekar Ben Ramayo. The Choshu Ben Rabim, Pasuk Tetvav, many are going to stumble. The Noflu, when they will fall. The Nishbodu, when they will be broken. The Nochu, the Nilkadu. Do you know what I just say, Namish? I take a look at this Pasuk. Look at the beauty of this pasuk. The choshlu b'mrabim, many are going to stumble. The naflu, the nishboru. Choshlu b'mrabim. I haven't seen the Malbim on this, but if I would be the Malbim, this is what I would have written. What does the pasuk before say? It's going to be an Eben Negev. It's going to be a stone on which you stub your toe. Do you know what that means? The choshlu b'mrabim, many are going to stumble. And what did I say about tsur michshol? Tsur michshol already means not merely that you stub your toe and oh, it hurts, but you fall. And you know what happens when you fall? The nishboru, you're broken by it. And then what did it say afterwards? L'pach u'mokesh. So the last two psukim words in this pasuk of the nokshu, they will be trapped. Vinil kodu, and they will be caught. That's pach and mokesh. Or mokesh is nokshu. Nokshu. Do you see how pasuk tet vav simply takes everything that was said in your dalet and brings it to its final conclusion? If there's an eben negev, the choshlu b'mrabim. If there is a tzur michshol, they will fall and be broken. There's a mokesh. You know what happens with a mokesh? With nokshu, you're trapped in it. When you're caught. Says Rashi, those stones that they said, those stones that they set up for themselves, they created their own stumbling block. You know who's going to fall? They're going to fall. They and their group, Shneim, both of them, Yiplu B'Yatzoneim, are going to fall in the hands of their enemies. Pekach Nehrag. Pekach was killed because there was an assassination by Hoshea ben Ela. Hoshea ben Ela is the last of the kings of Israel. Not to be confused with a prophet by the name of Hoshea ben Be'eri, nor to be confused with Hoshea ben Nun. This is Hoshea ben Ela, the last of the kings of Israel. He is the one who kills Pekach ben Remaliah. Shehorga Hoshea, the Yud HaShvatim, the 10 tribes, Naflu B'Yad Sancheret, the 10 tribes fell into the hands of Sancheret. The Shevna Yotzim Yerushalayim, remember we learned the Gemara, Shevna went out of Yerushalayim to make peace with Sancheret, Kishola Sancheret, Me'oleo, Lelech Al Tirhoka, Melech Kush, Shotav Shevna Visayato Vahalaklo. Sancheriv comes against Yerushalayim twice. The first time he comes, he has to lift the siege because he is told, he receives a message that Tirhaka, king of Cush, is coming from the south against him. Meanwhile, Shevna has joined with the forces of Sancheriv, and ultimately he's going to fall dead through the hands of Sancheriv. Pasuk Tetzayin. Let's go. Tzor Tuuda. Chaton Torah B'Limudai. Tzor Tuuda. The picture that I have in my mind is, you know, a graduation, you get a diploma, and it has a ribbon around it. There's a Tuuda with Let's see Rashi. Tzor Tuda, Kol Zemin Anavua, Shenemro Lamalo. All this is part of the prophecy that was said above. Kikarmar Hashem Eli, this is what Hashem said to me. Va'od Zodam Ali. In other words, first of all, Yishayahu has told us, don't be swayed by what seems to be the majority of people. You have to use your basic sense. If they are opposed to Malchut Beit David, then you have to understand that this is wrong. You don't give Yerushalayim over to the enemy. Anybody who wants to give Yerushalayim over to the enemy is going to suffer for it. Don't make the mistake of thinking that that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai went out to Vespasian, for all intents and purposes, the city had already destroyed itself from within. There was no hope anymore. There was no there was no government in Yerushalayim. The city was obviously lost. But here there's Chizkiyahu, there's a king, there's a government. There's a force to contend with in the city. Yeshayahu is in the city. So what do you mean you go off and you make your own decisions about giving up Yerushalayim? Speak to Yeshayahu. Go to Chizkiyahu. There are other Nevi'im most probably in the city. So he says, Kol Zeh, Rashi says, Kol Zeh Menanavu Hashem, Lomalo, all of this is part of the prophecy that was said above. Kikoh Amar Hashem Elai, this is what Hashem said to me. Va'od Zot Amali. After he told me this prophecy, he also said to me, Tzor Tuda, Lashon Ha'edoti Bachem Hayom, Lashon Hatra. The word Tuda is a document, you know, or a, what do we call it, a diploma? Why is a Tuda a diploma, a Tuda Zehut? A certificate. Why? Because it is Eidus. The word Eid, it testifies when you come with your Tuda Zehut. This testifies to your zehut. A diploma testifies that you have successfully completed a certain course of study. So he says, Tzor Tuda, Lishon Ha'edoti Bachem Hayom. Now it goes one step further. The word Eidut also means to warn. I'm telling you something clear. Lishon Hatra'ah, warning. Kishor Hatra'ati, bind to yourself my warning. V'chatom ha-Torah alev limudai, and I want you to seal the Torah upon the hearts of those who study. Talmidecha v'yirei shamayim hanikra'im limudai Hashem. Chatom Torah, seal that Torah v'limudai. Hashem is saying, Yeshayahu, your students, the ones upon whom you imprint Torah and Yirat Hashem. V'im Tomar Ain Loshin Chida Nofel the Lingut Torah, Nofel Hubo, Shenema Kashraim Alibecha Tomat. It's a beautiful Rashi. If Rashi says, if you're going to say, how do you tie Torah? How do you use the term of tying up Torah or tying Torah to you? So he says, don't worry about it. Of course, there's a pasuk like that initially. When Shlomo HaMelech talks about Torah, he says, bind and tie it upon the your heart constantly. Pasuk Yud Zayin, V'chikiti l'Hashem Hamnastir panav mibeit Yaakov V'chivitu lo. This is one of those psukim, I think, that has eternal, mamash, eternal significance. He says, I would imagine that here the God is giving a message of hope, but the situation bashetach, the uvdot bashetach, that Klal Yisrael is in a terrible, terrible state, surrounded by enemies, powerful enemies on all sides, and there a Jewish people torn from within. So it says, v'chikiti l'Hashem, I will wait for God. Hamastir panav mibeit Yaakov, the God who conceals his face from the house of Yaakov. You can't see him. The kiviti lo. I'm going to wait and I'm going to hope for him. Says Rashi. Amar Yishayahu. Yishayahu said, Ani hamechakel Hashem. I am the one who waits for God. Hamastir panav miyud hashvatim, who has concealed his face from the 10 tribes. Kiviti lo. I hope for him. La'amet. La'amet. Mem aleph. Mem that he will make certain that my words will become true. Although Shiat Beit David, I'm certain that he's going to save the house of David. We are now on the page that is paginated, Membet. I am the children whom God has given to me, for signs and for miracles be Israel. Mayim Hashem Tzakot is going to come from the God of hosts, Hashochein Bahar Tzion, who dwells on Har Tzion. Says Rashi, Hine Anochi Vayolodim, Lishnei Otot Puranut. Lishnei Otot Puranut Pekach, his children are the signs of the two punishments that will come upon Pekach. Kemoshe Nikra Hayeled, child that was called Maher Shalol Chosh Baz, who Chuad Beit David and the salvation of the house of David, Kimoshe Nikra Hayelet Immanuel. In other words, his two sons, one talks of the destruction of the enemies, that's Maher Shalal Chosh Baz, and then it also speaks about the ultimate emergence of the house of David, Yeshua's Beit David, that's Immanuel. Utsu Eitu V'tufar Dabru Davav Aloyakim Ki Immanuel. Says Rashi Zehu Yishuv Ba'inyan Lufi Pshuto. This is the Pshuto Shel Pasuk. That I and the children who are with me, they are the signs and they are the miracles. Now I have a feeling, Otot Umovtim, Rashi, when he says Pshuto Shel Mikra, is very, very careful. A mofet is, of course, a great deal more than an oat. A mofet is a miracle. Something that is unusual and exceptional. Something that goes beyond nature. An oath is an indication, a sign. Doesn't necessarily have to be something that is outside the course of nature. Now Rashi says, Otot umoftim, oath is the son, Maher Shalal Chosh Baz, who is the sign that Pekah ben Ramayo is going to fall. And by the way, he falls, in a sense, in a way that may very well be interpreted by the men in the street as, you know, in the normal course of events, you know, leaders are assassinated. So Sheh ben Ella assassinated. There's nothing outside of the ordinary. But the second son, Immanuel, he is the mofet, he is the miracle. What's the miracle? The salvation of the house of David. How are they going to be saved? By the destruction of the camp of Sancheriv. The angel of God is going to come down in the streets. So Pasuk is so perfect and so careful the way Rashi says it. Hotot and Moftim, Shnei Hayaladin, Maher Shalal, Chashbaz, that's Pekah ben Ramayo, and Immanuel, that is the Mofet. But then he says in Medrash HaGadol in Bereishis Rabba, the Medrash HaGadol in Bereishis Rabba says Al Ochaz, that it's talking about a period a little earlier in history, the period that was discussed by chapters 7 and 8, 6 and 7, and part of 8, the period of Ochaz that precedes the period of Chizkiyo. And you should know there are going to be many psukim in the next number of chapters that can be understood as taking place in the days of Chizkiyo when Sancheriv, king of Asher, surrounds Yerushalayim, and it could be earlier in the days of Ochaz. And the days of Ochaz, of course, that's when the attempt is made by Pekah ben Remalyo and Ritzin, Melech Aram, to bring down the house of David. The Medrash HaGadol says, "Bereishit Rab al Ochaz, she Ochaz batei knesiyus ubatei midrashos shelo yilmedu tinoko shel beisabon Torah." You got to listen to this. This is, it's going to blow your mind. Huh? I'm on page Membeis. Medrash HaGadol. Listen to this Medrash HaGadol. I don't give you You have to listen to this Medrash HaGadol because while it's talking about Ochaz, it is of such contemporary significance. It's amazing. Ochaz batei knesiyos ubatei midrashos. He took hold of the shuls and the schools. And you know what he wanted to do? You know what his plan was? Shelo yilmidu tinokum shel bitzavim Torah. He didn't want that Jewish children should study Torah. And he made the infamous statement, in ein gedoyim, ein tuyashim. If there are no goats, there are not going to be any rams. A gedi is a little one, and the tayash is the adult gedi. I don't know if it's a ram. A ram is an adult. A tayash is
an old goat.
An adult goat, whatever it is, maybe. I'm not sure how to say it in English. I don't have to know. But this is a famous statement in Chazal. In Ein Gedoyim, Ein Tiyoshim. There are times that it is used in a positive sense. There were Gedolei Yisrael that said we have to teach children. We have to teach them Torah because in Ein Gedoyim, if you don't have the little goats, you're not going to have the big goats. But he wanted to make sure that there should not be Gedoyim. He took over the Mitzvah HaChinuch. And what he really did was to remove Torah from the curriculum of the Jewish people. Im ein tzon, ein roeh. Im ein tzon, if there are no sheep, then there's no shepherd. In other words, if there won't be really dedicated Jewish people, then we don't need, the Rebbe Shem simply is going to remove his divine presence from here. Father, if we empty them of every sense of Torah and Ahavat Zion and Ahavat Moledet, then it's all over. Egron lo saleh shiratan, going to cause him to remove his divine presence. Amar lo hanavi, so the prophet told him, kol ma shata kosher hatuda v'chotem haTorah l'sodma shelo timatze b'Yisrael lo yo'il lecha. The Medrash is so amazing. The Medrash takes the pasuk and it simply Ose Hafuch Sor Teudah V'chaton Torah V'limudai is the passage that was explained with Viv Shuto, that Hashem is telling the Navi, make sure that the testimony is here, it is solid, tie it to the people, imprint the seal, the Chatima of Torah into your students. And then the Medrash turns around and says, Zor Teudah, lock up the places where Teudah is studied, Chaton Torah, seal Torah, you know, put it in some kind of a museum. Lock up Torah, because if you lock up Torah, then there won't be Shomrei Torah or Mitzvahs, and then there won't be any Shin anymore. This was Ochos, by the way. Most probably the Medrash says this, and I think here we will understand Chizkiyahu. This is a thought that overwhelms me now. And because somebody asked me this yesterday, you know, we always have this feeling. We had learned the Gemara earlier, that the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'asot Chizkiyahu Mashiach. God wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach and Sancheriv Gog u'Magog, and the Gemara says that the Malachim said, somebody for whom you did such a miracle and he didn't praise you, you're going to make him Mashiach? And by the way, so there the pasuk later on in Yeshayahu says, Miknaf ha'aretz mirot shomeru. The earth began to sing and say, listen, we'll sing in place of Chizkiyahu. Make him Mashiach and make some kind of Gog u'Magog. So, you know, there's always this sense, you know, we know to say Hallel on Yom HaAtzmaut, you understand? And Chizkiyahu, king of Yehuda, didn't know that you have to say Hallel after a great miracle like that. I understand Chizkiyahu. Chizkiyahu understands. Is the one who realizes that the greatest threat to the Jewish people was that which his father wrought. His father, Ahaz, is the one who closed the Batei Knesiot and the Batei Midrashot. His father is the one who wanted to remove Torah from the mouths of children and therefore in Ein Gedoyim, Ein Tiyashim. Chizkiyahu, the Gemara says about Chizkiyahu, that when his father died, he dragged the body of his father from the streets of Yerushalayim. And do you know what Chizkiyahu dedicated himself to? To undo, in the most radical way possible, everything that his father did. And therefore, the greatest growth of Torah in the period of the Malachim was in the days of Chizkiyahu. Doesn't Chizkiyahu have a right to say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, the Torah that I have made sure will be taught to people all over the country, that's not the greatest song of praise to you? Following the period of Achaz, who wants to erase Torah completely. I can understand Chizkiyahu. I don't know what does the Gemara want from Chizkiyahu. So he didn't say Hallel. And he didn't sing Shir HaMalas to the tune of the HaTikva. And so what? They failed. He did more. Didn't David, and Chizkiyahu is the one who says that he has received the tradition of David. Didn't David say, Zmiros hoyuli chukechoy, your Torah was a song for me. He holds that the greatest song of all is the song of Torah being sung by Jewish children. Oh boy, I'm on Chizkiyahu's side now. Following the period where a king of Israel says, "Im ein gedoyim ein tiyoshim," and he's going to make sure there won't be children studying Torah, then the greatest response to that is, as we've quoted the Gemara often, that in the days of Chizkiyahu, Bodku midam va'ber sheva, they checked, there was a seker. A seker that was done, a poll that was taken from Don until Be'er Sheva. A midgam, that's right. And it was not an exit poll, but it was an entry poll into the Batei Knesiyos u'Batei Midrashos lo haya ish v'isha tinek v'tinokes shelo hayu b'kiyun b'hilchos tumah v'tahara. He made a revolution, a Torah revolution, Chizkiyahu made. That's not the greatest song of praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so I know what you can ask me. So now you can ask me, so what's the job in the Gemara? In other words, every time I take one side, so you always want to, so I don't know what the other side is. Okay, I'll figure that out when Yom HaTzimut rolls around. Okay. And watch. What you're going to watch now is, Rashi is taking the last few psukim, which he has already interpreted according to Pshuto. And by the way, when Rashi said Lefi Pshuto, he meant the psukim from Tzor, Tuda, Chaton, Torah, B'liudai, and further. And now he continues. Again, he is explaining Pasuk Yud Zayin, right? Isn't he again? Sure. He's explaining Yud Zayin again. V'chikite Hashem ha'masir panot, ein l'cha nevua kosher kol, tashara shamar Moshe. This is also a Rashi. I'm told there's such Rashis over here that the man would blow my mind. Rashi says there is no more difficult prophecy than the prophecy that was said by Moshe. At the end of Torah, Moshe says there will come a period of time, Vanochi Haster Astir Panai Bayom Ha'u. I'm going to conceal, God says, I'm going to conceal my face from before you on that day. Va'av bo biyom hifticham. And on that same day, Moshe promised them, Va'anta ashira azot lefanav le'ed, ki lo tishachach mipi tzaro. On that day, that was the day that he said Hazinu, and when he talked about the shira of Hazinu, he says, this will never be forgotten from your children forever. It means that there will be periods in Jewish history where God is going to be concealed. And Rashi says, that's the most difficult of all prophecies, that we have to live through periods of Hester upon him. That's how Rashi, according to the Medrash, is learning, V'chikiti l'Hashem, I'm going to wait for God, but I won't see him. Hamastir panav mibeit Yaakov, he's going to conceal his face from the house of Yaakov. I will hope for him, but it's extremely, extremely difficult. The periods of Hester upon him are periods where one asks the question, where is God? Where was God? Why does not God not come to our I can't help it. It gets so much better. So according to the Medrash, Tzor to Udah, that Pasuk 16 talks about the disappearance of Torah. Pasuk 17 talks therefore about God disappearing and being hidden from the scene. So now, Pasuk 18, I and my children, Heim ha-talmidim shakaviven alai tibbonim yu la'otot ulamotim shetitkayem Torah b'Yisrael al-yada. So he says, even in the moment of greatest darkness, Yishayahu says, me and my children. And children has a broader meaning in Tanakh, meaning not only flesh and blood children, but it means I and my students. Despite the concealment of God, despite the hester upon him, we're going to continue learning Torah, and we're going to make sure that that there will be a future for Klal Yisrael. There will be Gedoyim, and therefore there will be Tiyoshim. What a beautiful, what a beautiful message. V'chigamru aleichem dirishu el ha'ovot vel ha'yidonim ha'metzavtzafim v'ha'mahagim ha'lo am el lohov yitrosh v'ad ha'chaim el ha'medim. And he says, those who incite you against God, if they are going to say, you want to know what's going to happen? Everybody always wants to know. What do you think Skardim are all about? What do you think Poles are all about? Everybody wants to know what's going to be. Everybody wants to know. We want to have some kind of an indication. It's something that we yearn for and we long for. There were people in Yerushalayim who said, listen, if you want to know what's going to happen, turn to the Ovot and the Yidonim. The Ovot and the Yidonim were means by which people communicated with the dead who are supposed to tell them what's going to happen. Hametzavtzafim v'hamahagim. And as we explained, the messages that came from the dead, so to speak, were not in the form of real words, but metzavtzafim is what the birds that chirp and sing. And mahagim are those that, we talk about the pigeons that come to on the windowsills. They don't chirp and they don't sing, but they coo. That's right. So Rashi says, V'chiyon ru'aleichem amid adi simen be'eira avim shaloshea pen be'eiri niba shnei mikroos halalu. I was right that we had to learn the Rashi on these. It says, Hoshea ben Be'eri was the Navi Hoshea. Remember, we talked about Hoshea ben Elah, who's going to assassinate Pekah ben Ramallo. We talked about Hoshea ben Nun. Hoshea ben Be'eri is the Navi Hoshea, the first of the 12. And I never like to use the term minor prophets. They are giants. But say the 12 prophets. That's it. The 12 prophets. That's what it is. Chayasar. Finish. No definition. So Reb Simon says, Be'eda Oviv Shalom She'evim Be'edi Niva Shnei Mikreis Halalu V'lo Ho'yo V'hem K'dei Seifen V'nitvelu B'Yishayahu V'niva Otam L'galut Atzeret HaShvatim K'sheheg Lo Samcheret L'Ruveni V'lagadi. These two psukim, Reb Simon said, that these two psukim were not said by Yishayahu, they were said by Be'edi, who was the father of Hoshea. But you can't make a sefer out of two psukim. So, it was attached, it was put in to the sefer of Hoshea. And that these two psukim were said about the 10 tribes, when Sanherib came, and he begins the process of exiling them, and the first ones that go into exile, the first ones that got taken into exile, are Reuven and Gad, who live on the other side of the Jordan. K'mar she'nama, as it says, a pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Be'era b'no nosi la Reuveni, ha'hu asher heglot tiglat pilatza. Be'era b'no, in other words, Hoshea, and Be'era is like his son. Be'era was also a prophet. And he was from the tribe of Reuven, and the tribe of Reuven was taken into exile by Tiglath-Pileser. Tiglath-Pileser was the first of the Assyrian kings. V'chiyonu aleichem, and he says, V'chiyonu aleichem v'umos, if the nations will say to you, Girshu al ha'ovot ha'mitzavtefim v'hagim, loshin genayhu. This is a shameful term. Sha'af ha'diburei behem. Ela ka'ofot halalu. Notice when they say about those who hear at a seance, the voice of the dead, so the Navi is really making fun. You know what? You know, like you say, Hebrew, you say he mifakpetet, you know? Yeah. Chatters. So he says the voices that come from the dead are mitzaftzefim u'mehargim. You know, it's an embarrassing term. That whatever comes, that they can't speak, they are like the birds and the papitin the kolam. Lashon tziftzuf. Tziftzuf is a ring, a chirp. Huh? Yes, it is. I think it's in either Imrul or Lakim or one of them. There it's used in a poetic manner. These words, the kind of terms you use about the fowl, kesus or gur kain atzaftzeif. Later on, we're going to have. I'm going to be mitzaftzeif like a sis or gur. That's a not a horse. It's a bird. And hegek hayonah, I will coo like the dove. We find tziftzuf as a silent voice, shenema v'hoya ka'ov me'eretz kolech me'ofar imratech t'tzatzeh. Your words are going to come out, you know, silently from the earth. So he goes on to say to them, halo am el Elohav yidrosh zu tehei tshuvatchem, halo am kamonu ashelo Elohim kelokeinu elodakav yidrosh shema tomru lanu liyos kemoschem yidrosh tzorkei akai yimen ameisim. Not going to do it. It says the pasuk is saying that when they will tell you, you know, get your information from the dead. So our response is going to be, each people turns to their God, and we're going to turn to our God, not to the Ovot and the Yidonim. Pasuk 20, the Torah and the Tuvda, in lo yomru kadavar hazeh asher ein lo shacha, the Torah and the Tuvda. Rashi explains, "Mukhubar lemala himenu." The Torah ul Tuda is connected to that which was said earlier. Shemin drosh al meitim, the Torah ul Tuda ba'ad hachayim lahorot lanu ma ne'aseh. Maybe you will say that we should turn to the dead. So he says, "Well, forget about it. We have a God, and our God is going to tell us." Rashi says, "Kol zeh l'fi ha-medrash." Everything, all of this is according to the medrash. U'l'fi pshuto. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes Rashi tells you pshuto shel mikra, and then he takes you to the medrash. Here, what he did was he gave you the medrash, and now he says l'fi pshuto. I hold that there has to be good reason for it. So think about it. I'm not sure yet myself. Maybe I shouldn't admit, you know, because by the time I'm finished with the Rashi teaching, you know, I may come up already with a pshat, but, you know, we have to be honest. Well, see, pshuto yesh liftor, and according to the pshuto shel mikra, this is the way to explain it. V'chiyomru aleichem, when they will say to you, no, turn to the dead, gemar nivuatohu, this is the end of the prophecy, sh'omar, the Yisraeli, God has warned me, milecher v'derech ha'am hazeh, from going in the way of this people. And God is warning the prophet Yeshayahu and the group who follows Hizkiyahu. Aleichem Shevna v'siyato, and Shevna and his group are going to say, she yiru et Hizkiyahu mevae pavodes kechavim. When they saw Chizkiyahu reject idolatry, then they turned to the Ovot of the Yitonim, Fasher Osu Ovot HaRishonim, VeHishivu Et HaMelucha Al Sancheret, and they got the message. In other words, the message that they received from their contact with the dead was that the kingdom is going to return to Sancheret. In other words, they're getting, in our contemporary way, I would say that they're saying, listen, all indications, strategic and other, are that Sancheret is going to win, and he's going to win big. And therefore, we're going to fall under the heel of Sancheret. So he says, Halo am el kav yidrosh, a people seeks out their God. Ovdim Avedas Gechavim. Otherwise, how are we going to know what to do? You know what your response should be? Well, this should be your response. Shetishmeru et haTorah. Keep Torah. Don't tell me your narishkeit. Don't tell me what the dead are saying. Keep Torah. K'moshe nemar l'mala, as it says earlier, Tzor t'udah, chatom Torah, v'lo taminu l'divrei. Don't believe what they're telling you. What are Hashetah and his group telling them? This is really, in a sense, an elaboration of what Yeshayahu said earlier. They're frightening the people. They're telling them we don't stand a chance. They're telling them that Sanherib is going to take over Yerushalayim. We might as well join with the enemy. I don't believe that Rashi really means that they worshipped idols. What Rashi really means, and you know that this is always my approach, Jews didn't just worship idols, but they had made an idol of their own assessment of the military situation. How many times have we quoted Soloveitchik, who said that the great idol of the 20th century was man himself? When Shevna and his group are absolutely convinced, I mean, they take a look at it from the point of view of military strategy, the lineup of forces, they have it all figured out. We don't stand a chance. If we don't make peace now, there's going to be a Middle East battle that is going to be absolutely, totally destructive. They have it all figured out. And they're so certain of it. And they're frightening the people. And when they tell them, you know, listen to the voices of the dead. Listen to the voices of the dead. It means, you know, you know what Shevna is saying? Leman atid yiladeinu. For the future of our children. I mean, the signs are still up, almost probably down with the first rain that comes this afternoon. Leman atid yiladeinu. We had better make peace with Sanherib. This is a form of idol worship. The idol worship here is that one worships the idol of his own mind. He has it all figured out and knows exactly what's going to happen. In Jewish history, you never know exactly what's going to happen. Unless you have a Navi, you never know what's going to happen. And I said time and time again, the rule in modern Jewish history, as was the rule in Jewish history all the time, expect the unexpected. And of course, the destruction of Sanherib at the gates of Yerushalayim was the most unexpected of all. So it says, your answer should be L'torah L'todah Shadishma Satorah K'ma Shenam L'mala Tzor Todah Chatom Torah V'lo Tamino L'Divrein. Don't listen to all of their narishkeit. In Lo Yomru Kadov Razah Asher Ein Lo Shacha. You can be certain they're going to say something like this, Asher Ein Lo Shacha. By the way, that is a Hebrew term, something that doesn't have a dawn to it. In other words, in Yiddish we would say Es Fangt Sich Rishtum. It doesn't begin. There is no light upon it at all. When you answer this answer, Tiru v'tishma'u, in lo yiyu modim shedim shebehem ledivreichem. It's amazing what he says. Thank you. It's amazing. He's saying, you know, when you're going to stand up against Shevna and his group, when you stand up against them, you know what's going to happen? You're going to weaken the good. There were obviously good people who also followed Shevna. They listen to him. They hear what he's saying. It makes a lot of sense. Nation after nation has fallen before the onslaught of Sanherib. Whatever he says makes a great deal of sense. And then there are good, well-meaning people who can be convinced that the best thing for Klal Yisrael is to make peace and give the city over to Sanherib so that there will no longer be any bloodshed. So there are good people there. They belong to Meimad. And they're the good people who have really joined with Shevna. But when they hear a strong statement made by the Navi, forget the nonsense. Torah is the answer. The good are going to begin to to question whether Shevna is right. Kinu Tishma, you're going to see and hear him, lo you modim shadim shabahem. The good amongst them will agree, lidvechem, with your words, v'yomru kadavra zeh emes. This is true. Hashem ein lo elahai oviyat oni shum shachar. Oviyat oni, there is no shachar to it. And by the way, the word shachar over here has another word. There's another meaning to the word shachar. A pasuk in Mishle, where Torah or God says, ani ohavai ehav, I love those who love me. Umeshachadai, those who seek me out, yimtzo unini, will find me. Aren't you impressed that I knew that pasuk? I'll tell you a story. You know how students are in yeshiva. This goes back about 45 years. At least 45 years. So we had a Rebbe who was also the Mashgiach in the yeshiva. And there were those who complained about him, you know, he's not warm enough, he doesn't, if he's too close and too warm, you say, get off my back. And if he's not close or warm enough, so you say, you know, he's a cold fish. You know, oh, there's always a tiny, a rabbi, a rashiva, and a mashgiach never get a fair shake. So there was a period of time, this Rebbe, who was really a tzaddik gadol, that David Krungler said, a tzaddik mutach. So there were complaints. So he used to learn we learned a few psukim in Mishle. And after that, the complaints that kept growing, he came to this pasuk. And he says, Torah says, ani ohavai ehav, I love those who love me. Umshacharai, those who seek me out, yim to'uni will find me. I don't have to go looking for you. You want me? Come find me. Oh boy, did we know what he meant. Did we know what he meant? He says, you know, I remember the way he said, I'm not a, this is not a kindergarten. I don't wipe anybody's nose. I don't have to play games with little children. If you want me, Meshacharai, those who seek me into me. That's how the Targum Yonatan learns the word Ein Lo Shachar. It's not something to seek out. You don't go looking for Ovi Yedoni when you have Torah, when you have the Nevi'im. You don't, Ein Lo Shachar, that's not. You know who you go looking for? Meshacharai, those who seek Torah or seek God into Onani will find me. That pasuk became not merely engraved. I'll never forget that pasuk. That was an hour's shiur. It was, in other words, it was the state of the yeshiva address by the mashgiach. And we knew that as we heard him learning that pasuk, this was a historic speech that was being made. And he was right. By the way, he was right. Those who sought him out gained a great deal from him. He was a real tzaddik and an amazing tanakh. Okay, I'm sure that he's enjoying the fact that Shalom remembers Ani Ohavai Ehav when the Shachar that I can say. Ein Lo Shachar. Targum Yonatan says these are not the things that we go looking for. It's sort of built into the human psyche. We want to know, regardless of where the information comes from. The second shot, the Medrash says that the word shachataka comes from the word shacha, morning, the dawn. So he says, idolatry has no eyes, doesn't see. There is nothing that shines. The sun doesn't shine on himself. He has eyes and he doesn't see. How will he send his brilliance upon others? What is there that the idol can give? When come, he can take care of himself. Another way to look at this pasuk in Lo Yom Ru Kadavar Azeh, Atot Tiru, in Lo Yom Ru Aleichem Kadavar Azeh, Dir Shul Arobos, Atot Bishen Lo Shacha, Velo Mamish, Bedavar Azeh, Lo Yevotu Mi Lomar Aleichem. He says, you can be certain, I'm telling you, these people have no shame and no embarrassment. Believe me, they're going to tell you to go ahead and listen to the Ovot and the Yidonim, despite the fact that there is absolutely no truth to it whatsoever. People are not embarrassed. People are not ashamed. People will say all sorts of sheker, all sorts of sheker, without any shame whatsoever. And they get away with it. They get away with it all the time. I've been saving my haaretz for the last week just to read all of the vicious attacks on the right now that it's all over. But you should know they got an incumbent from me. First time in a month, they didn't deliver the Haaretz this morning. And I think they just didn't want me to enjoy the Haaretz this morning. I think it's a plot against any right-wingers. I'm not going to get their Haaretz this morning. And if there's... She's very worried. Don't be so worried. It's okay. All right. Let's see if we can hop around one more pasuk, 21. And then after this chapter, I think we're going to start moving with a great deal more, because there's going to be magnificent psukim in terms of the pictures that are going to be painted. Pasuk 21. V'ovar bo nitshe v'ra'ev v'hoyok yir'av v'katzaf v'kilel b'malko uve'elohav ufono l'mala. You know, at the end, the Novi says, you know what the end is going to be? You're going to go through the whole process. You're going to go through the process of rejecting God. You're going to turn to in all sorts of directions in order to find out what the future holds. You may turn to the dead and to seances and to polls and to astrology. You're going to look in all sorts of directions. And the end is going to be that you will be terribly, terribly disappointed, and in the depths of your depression, you're going to turn your face heavenward all over again. So maybe save yourself all of the agony and do it now. V'ovarba, they will pass through a period of nitsche, heavy times, difficult times, v'ro'ev, and there will be hunger. And it will come to be when he is, when there is hunger, and he will become angry. In other words, we're talking about the man in the street. He's going to become hungry, and he'll get angry, and he will curse his king. In other words, the one who took him down this garden path and his gods. He's going to turn against them. And then ultimately what he's going to do is ufona lemala, he's going to turn heavenward. You're going to go through all of the tzaras. You could have avoided it all. Could have avoided it all. And you're going to go through it all. And then ufona lemala. Rashi, Basit Chafalov. For Ovar bon Nik Sheverov. Musav l'malo, this goes on what was said earlier. Ma omur b'tchilat ha'inyan, what was said at the beginning? V'yisreini milechet b'derech ha'am hazeh. Earlier in the parak, Yishayahu had said, God warned me from going in the way of this people. U'pireish mehu ha'derech. And he explained, what is the road you should not travel? Lo tomru kesher l'kesher ha'seret ha'shvatim. Remember? Earlier the Pasuk said, don't become part of the conspiracy of the 10 tribes, Shekhid Kashru, in Malchim Mitzrayim, By the way, there were different conspiracies. There were conspiracies with Aram. There were conspiracies with Mitzrayim. There were alliances that were made against Yehuda. Who pidesh et onshan. And then the Navi explained what their punishment will be. Remember the pesukim that we learned earlier? They're going to fall, they're going to stumble, they're going to be trapped, they're going to be caught. That's what they're going to get from all of the great alliances that they made. Every alliance we've made has been a tzara for us. I'm afraid to say I get angry every time one of our boys goes flying off to Mubarak in Egypt. Will not step foot over here, and they go to him, and he's one of the greatest purveyors of anti-Semitism in the world today. And we're like, thank God Ben Ami is not going to be lacing anymore. Huh? Oh, Ben Amon. Okay, that's, you must have gotten that at some nubbin shir. Watch. So now Rashi is explaining this concept. Anybody who goes on that path, the path of joining with those who have made an alliance against the Jewish people, the path of those who seek truth in all sorts of other directions, the one who passes on that road, that they forsake God, the Somchin al Malchei Mitzrayim, and they depend on the kings of Egypt. And by the way, this is another Rashi that proves something that I have said time and time again. That idolatry doesn't have to mean that Jews were bowing down before Hetzkalach, idols. Idolatry meant placing your trust or your faith in some other power. And when they placed their trust and faith in Mitzrayim, this was a tragic mistake. That's a vote of sorrow, worshipping a foreigner, and you think that he's going to come to your aid. So those are going to pass through this whole process that Yeshayahu has described in this chapter. The ones who are going to turn all sorts of directions to find comfort, to know what's going to happen in the future, the ones who are not ready to listen to the prophet, the ones who are ready to reject the government of the house of David, ultimately they're going to fall, they're going to stumble, they're going to be broken. Niksha, they're going to pass through Ma'ora Koshet, difficult happenings. Niksha V'raid, Nila V'tzaros Koshet, they're going to become exhausted from terrible tzaros, V'rav, and hunger. Jikoshi U'matzor U'meitzik V'ra'av Yov'alem, because you know what's going to happen with them? Turning to all of their great friends, Ashur and Mitzrayim, what's going to come upon them is the siege of Yerushalayim and the oppression of the siege and the hunger Yavar Aleim. Bimei Matzor Shalosh Shanim Shetzor Sancheriv Al Sharon. 3 years the forces of Sancheriv, king of Assyria, besieged the city of Sharon. That's what you're going to get from all of your friends. All of your good friends. And you know what's going to happen as the hunger grows in the streets of Shomron? The Kilel, Ba'agolim Upa'olim, they worship the calves and they worship the Baal. They're going to curse them. Shahayu Ovdim Lahem. I've turned on to page Mem Dalet. We can even see the end of the chapter soon upon us. Upa'olim Allah. And you know what's going to happen when it's all over? When you see that there is no one else who can assist you. You tried to enter into an agreement with Egypt and it was a failure. You tried to make an agreement with Assyria. It was a failure. You tried to make an agreement with others and they all stabbed you in the back. And you placed your faith and your trust in all sorts of people and governments that have truly no interest in assisting you. And then, you know, at the end is going to be Ufon Olamala. Levakesh Meis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to turn heavenward to ask God v'lo Yishma, but he's not going to listen. Ki yitchatein gezardin, because the decree has already been signed and sealed. Kein tirgen Yonatan. That's how Yonatan explains it. Oh, so we have another two psukim. Yitzhashem will finish them.
next week. I'm getting it's pressure taking the neshama out of me, and I'm supposed to enjoy ourselves today.
We're supposed to be happy today. All right.